worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's. Please take the time to greet one another first. Say hello in the Lord. And I'm going to ask the mic guy to turn me off for a second because my mic's not in the right place. So, second Sunday of Epiphany. Epiphany is the time that God reveals his Christ. And obviously, God revealed Christ with the angels to the shepherds. That was earlier. And he revealed Christ to the Magi. That's Epiphany when we celebrate that. When God wanted to have all nations know about Jesus. Today we're going to see him being introduced to his own people and rejoicing in knowing who the Savior is. We begin our worship with our first hymn, which is Brightest and Best, I believe, of the... Brightest and Best of the Stars of the Morning. Brightest and Best of the Stars of the Morning. It is hymn 373. I guess you're going to have to open your hymnals till they get the electronics straightened out. So,
we invite you to the Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Tim Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke chapter 3, selected verses, "The Lord anoints his chosen." Our worship this morning follows setting three. Our congregation will open the service in singing hymn number 373 from the Christian worship hymnal, Brightest and Best, hymn number 373.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer hear their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Jesus Christ. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We continue with our lessons. Our lessons remind us of how important it is to set apart our leaders and acknowledge them as the ones that will serve us. God also did this with Jesus, which we'll see in the gospel lesson. But here we see one where another was set aside for service. 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I see a king for myself among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will let you know what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the person that I point out to you." So Samuel did what the Lord had told him to do and went to Bethlehem, trembling with fear. The elders of the city came to meet him. They said, "Do you come in peace?" He said, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they had come, he looked at Eliab and said, "Certainly, this is the Lord's anointed." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at how tall he is, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not look at things the way man does. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then Jesse had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Is that all of the young men?" Jesse said, "There is still the youngest, but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him, for we cannot sit down to eat until he comes." He sent for him and brought him in. David had red hair and striking eyes and was good looking. The Lord said, "Get up, anoint him, because this is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. The Spirit of the Lord rushed on David with power from that day forward. And after that, Samuel set out and returned to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with our psalm. Psalm 2, "You Are My Son."
Thank you.
from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Here God reminds us that he appointed Christ Jesus to be our Savior. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward mankind appeared, he saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation. Gospel lesson from Luke chapter 3, the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit as our Savior. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John, this is John the Baptist, answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next hymn, hymn 385, Christ Begins. Hymn 385, Christ Begins. Thank you. Just want a little show of hands here. Are there some of you who have a pet cat? No, a couple here and there. How many of you have a pet dog? Okay, a few others. How many of you have both? Okay, a couple of you have both, all right. There's one thing interesting between cats and dogs that is very different. If you point to something that you want your dog interested in, they'll figure it out. They'll come and they'll sniff at whatever you point at. And it doesn't have to be right next to you. They'll come and they'll do that. And they'll do that almost naturally. Now, you can train a cat to do that. But you know the way cats are, those of you who have cats, right? What, you're going to bother me when I'm in the sun? You know? It's interesting. God is pointing for us, and he wants us to understand and see how wonderful this is that Christ has come into his kingdom, that he has come to save us from our sins, and that, well, he's the one that we ought to follow. Well, this is the way that God points him out, with a little bit of, thunder and light show. Let's take a look. Just the last couple of verses. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Anytime a new product comes online, they put out a lot of advertising, don't they? Hey, you got to check this out. This is the best thing in the world for you. I experienced that in a way that I had never before. My first year in college, when I was working for, of all things, a beer distributor. And the beer distributor that I was working for was in Ohio, and it was bringing Coors into Ohio for the first time. And wouldn't you know, after all that advertising, a couple of train cars got stuck in the train yard and they couldn't find them. Full of Coors beer. Kind of interesting. Bit of a fail on that one. But this one's pretty successful. The Lord speaks in front of his people. The Lord points out Christ. The Lord has the Holy Spirit baptize him with a dove. Not very often you see that happen outside of New York when you feed the birds. This is the Lord's anointed. And he is making it clear, this is the one who will be yours. Who would this Christ be? There were lots of people who had lots of ideas. They knew he would be a prophet. They knew he would be a king, yes. But they had all kinds of thoughts about what that was going to be. They knew he was going to be a priest. All this was prophesied from the Old Testament. He came as a son of David. Both Joseph and Mary were distant descendants of David. And John the Baptist understood that, boy, oh boy, this one was certainly worthy. The thongs of whose handles I am not worthy to untie. He was one we ought to recognize, that we ought to see, that we need to pay attention to. This is God himself who came, the Lord our righteousness is what the Old Testament talked about him as. And what a wonderful expression of the way that God saves us, that he pays for our sins and gives us his righteousness that we haven't earned to make us right before God. He possesses authority by his very person. He deserves our honor, our worship, and our praise, as the Magi did last week. But how do we honor our King? Are there times when we don't honor him as we should, that we dishonor him with our words and our actions and treat his worship as a chore? Do we come with hypocrisy in our hearts Or do we come with our hearts full of sin and give them to Him? Isn't it amazing how whichever way we come to Him, He still sends us away with His blessing, the blessing of a king? He comes with high priestly authority. He wields not merely words, but the Holy Spirit Himself and His divine power, and He brings the sacrifice Himself to God's altar. He has the authority to do the ceremonial washings, and He began baptizing many people at that time. He is one who established the holy place as God, and He is the one who would enter it on our behalf. Not the holy place in the temple on earth, but take His sacrifice before our God in heaven, where He would clearly show our forgiveness to the judge. And we hear some in the Old Testament, the high priests, thinking, well, that'd be great to have the Christ around. The Christ certainly will support us, will certainly be the one who supports us holy people here who serve in the temple. But it didn't really work out that way, did it? We need to be careful of the false perceptions we have as Christians. We have to be careful that we don't make Him into something He's not in our own head. We've got to be careful that we don't think about Him in a way that'll drive us away from Him, just as it did for the Pharisees and the chief priests of the temple. You see, without Christ, all, even the chief priests, deserve eternal separation from God. And what is more, you know, most ask for it by saying, you know, God, I don't like what You are, so I'm going to just give up on You. Asking God to leave their lives by their words and their actions. How sad. To come to our Heavenly Father, we need to be humble before Him, to recognize our sins and be ready to turn around and not do them anymore. To come to our Heavenly Father, He must pave the way by purifying us, washing us. That's what He does when He anoints His children. But God is anointing His chosen one, and Christ comes as a prophet, a preacher extraordinaire. And it always makes me jealous that when He spoke to somebody, He had that extra ability to look deep into their hearts, as our Old Testament reading talked about. And He was able to hit exactly what they needed to hear to give them any chance of coming to Him. He knows what's in our hearts, and He speaks to our hearts with His words. It is His words that separate the faithful from the faithless. His words bring fearful judgment. I love the way that John talked about it. His winnowing fork is in His hand to clear His threshing floor, to gather the wheat into His barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He fulfills His ultimate justice, and He fulfills His amazing grace all in one, all in this one person. He will claim His people and bring them into His barn like a harvest by calling out to His children. But how often are we like, well, like me when I was little? When I was on Adams Street in Saginaw, Michigan, my mom always called us in to come to bed while there was still light out. And all the other kids would still be playing. And my mom would, we would hear her call. Oh, we didn't want to heed that call. We didn't want to go and obey it, right? Because we know we'd just be sitting there in bed, hearing the other laughter of the kids while the light is still in the window, right? Oh, my mother was good to us. Now, if we didn't come a-running, she'd call and say, it's time for your bath, which was even worse. Oh, my goodness, complete embarrassment, right? So we had to get going right away, or suffer that. Sometimes God calls us. We don't want to hear, just like children. Sometimes we want to hang on to those things that aren't good for us. Sometimes we want to turn our ears off. How important for us to come running to our Lord, not because he's going to embarrass us, but because he's going to glorify us. He's going to make us his own. Come, hear the voice of the Anointed One. Now I want you to think about this from God's point of view. And I'm talking about it in commercial terms already once. Well, I'll do it again. There was a commercial way back when, Care Enough to Send the Very Best. Some of you might know where that came from. What a neat little jingle. But how it wonderfully applies to Christ Jesus, doesn't it? God sends the quality product. It's exactly what God did for us. And he did it so that he would be set apart, so that Christ would be set apart and anointed for his duty. And that's where we see that second half of our text, where heaven was opened. Jesus was baptized. He really didn't need it. He didn't need that special blessing of forgiveness that God promises in baptism. In fact, he was here to bring a blessing to us, which really fits with baptism anyway, because that's the promise of blessing as well. He is blessed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and that blessing on Jesus was a blessing to us. He made it so clear that this is the one to follow. I don't know what it meant by heaven opened. You know, maybe some of those sci-fi movies with, you know, holes in the back and somebody walks through from nowhere is the kind of thing we're talking about. I don't know. But it was clearly something they saw, and they recognized that this was not normal. And then God's voice from heaven comes out like thunder, "This is my son." Wow. It's important for us to know that this is the Anointed One. Not anointed just with water, not anointed with oil like the Old Testament kings, but anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And how wonderful that God himself shows up, all three persons in the same place. Why? Because this is moving along salvation history, and God delights in his salvation. I love the way that the Father talks about his Son. Every time the Son talks about the Father, he talks about him in glowing terms. Every time the Holy Spirit talks about one of the others, glowing terms. This is the God who came to save. I hope it means something for you. But it all would mean nothing if he simply condemned all who deserved condemnation. Instead, he loved his estranged children, and instead he chose to come to them to be their brother, that even though they didn't deserve his presence, he came. And he acted as the adult and offered his love and his forgiveness to all. I think I pointed it out to you before, and it's just a really important thing for us to see. Who's the one who usually brings the peace offering? The one who sinned or the one who has to forgive? Well, the one who has to forgive is the one who's giving here, who makes the peace offering so that there would be forgiveness for all. And how God the Father sealed his anointing. Here, this average-looking man from a small town way up north in Hicksville was, goodness, he was going to be our Savior? All the people in Jerusalem wouldn't have thought that was good. Here he is, a man of his hands, working as a carpenter until he was old enough to be the preacher that he became. And yet this was the Savior of the world. God himself gave the seal. Are you pleased with this Christ? Does he fit what your idea is all about? Do his teachings embarrass you because you're unwilling to talk about it in this PC world? How important for us to see that God himself is pleased with this one. That's what he said. With him I am well pleased. And then God the Father sent the Holy Spirit to make it ever so clear, opening up heaven and lighting on him, this one is the one I'm talking about. But now there's also something here that really is, I hope, comforting to you. This is always a good opportunity to review what baptism is for us. And even though it's not very, you know, it's not all the theology about baptism here, but important for us to see it. You see, Jesus himself began baptizing. He sent his disciples to baptize. And while he was going through, John the Baptist was baptizing. This was an important part of that time and place, and it's certainly important for us today. Why is it so important? Because it is God's promise to us. And isn't that exactly what God did when he anointed Jesus? That even though water was dripping down his face, the Holy Spirit anointed him to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness. And isn't that exactly what your baptism did? You wonder why I go stand by that at certain times in the service. It's because God wants us to wash our sins away. So when we're doing the repentance, when we're repenting of our sins, I stand by it to remember you that your baptism was a washing away of your sins. And when we're confessing our faith in the triune God, I often stand by it. Why? Because it's important for us to realize that this is the triune God who came to save us, and he did it in a simple way as well for us. He chose many different ways, and this is one of them. Through his word and sacrament, he comes and he saves. We needed that washing that Christ didn't need. This is the washing away of our sins, and it's his promise to us. And he promises gifts with this throughout the scriptures. He promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promises forgiveness. He promises life and eternal life with baptism. Lots and lots of promises. Think about that. We too are baptized with the Holy Spirit when we receive baptism. And although many of you don't even remember when that happened, it's when faith came into your heart. That's the way faith is often defined, as the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. This is the wonderful gift of God for us and his promise to us, just like he was pointing to Jesus at that baptism of Jesus's. It is a promise for you and your children. So many, sadly, in the Christian faith, do not baptize their children and lose the guarantee which should be there for them in difficult times. If an accident happens to a small child, they miss that guarantee for those who have suffered Alzheimer's or other forms of senility, because that baptism is still effective even in their older age. And even if they can't comprehend like you and I do, God has promised the Holy Spirit lives in their heart through baptism. In short, our Christian friends and other denominations often make baptism and communion their promise to God. But what did we just see? The Bible disagrees. Baptism and communion are God's solemn promise to us, just as he promised a Savior and brought it through on this his baptism day. To make it very clear, this is the one that pleases God. All those promises are wrapped up in baptism as much as they are wrapped up in Jesus' baptism. Rejoice in these holy acts that God has given to you by Christ and in Christ to bring him to you. Receive that promise in the faith which he created in you. advertising. It's really rather important for any business to have some advertising, isn't it? I mean, those of you who've dealt with businesses, sometimes people don't know how good a product you got, right? And how much they need your product, right? God understands. He shows up. He shows up for this anointing, God in the form of the Trinity all together, because this is what he delights in, because this is the product he wants you to see, to recognize, to relish and enjoy for the rest of your life. It's all connected, all working for your salvation, the Trinity here, saying, here is my Christ, personally, for you, in your baptism, in your life. You see, Christ isn't the only one who's anointed. Christ also anoints his chosen ones, you. So we rejoice because Christ has been anointed and set apart for his duty, and the Lord has anointed his chosen one. Let us rejoice in that every day. Amen. Please rise. Confident of this, he who begun who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We will have two things here. The prayer of the church, as well as welcome the Nimmos back into membership here at St. John's. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, how blind we are at times to see what you point to. Far too often in our lives we forego the blessings you want to give us when we don't know your scriptures as we ought. Lord God, bless us, that you may reveal to us at this Epiphany and always your Christ, that we may rejoice in the one who began his work at his baptism and finished it on the cross. Lord God, bless and encourage us every day that this is the one with whom you are pleased, that you said it more than once, that you made it clear to us that this is the one and only one through whom we have salvation. Help us to recognize that for ourselves, but also, dear Lord, lead us to speak that same truth to those who need to hear it. Encourage us every day to point to Christ our Savior, to recognize him as the only one, and keep our hearts close to him. Bless us that through his ministry, which he has done so long ago, we may rejoice in the ministry that continues in his name. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And I ask the Nimmos to please come forward. Yeah, stand right in front of me here. That'll be good. All right. Dear friends in Christ, After review and instructions in the simple teachings of the Bible and our Lutheran Church, you have requested to become members of this congregation. You have come to worship today, confess your unity with us, and to take your place as a part of this faith community. I now ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe that the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in this congregation, as you have come to know them, are faithful to the Word of God? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you desire to remain faithful to the teachings of Christ, to be diligent in the use of God's Word and sacraments, and lead a godly life as the Lord gives you strength? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Is it your desire to join us in worship and mission and support this work with your prayers and with your gifts? If so, answer, it is, and I ask God to help me.
It is, and I ask God to help me.
With sincere joy, we welcome you as members of St. John's Lutheran Church. All right, so after the service, swarm them, okay? Give them a hard time and welcome them. Go ahead, go back. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for leading the Nimmos to desire to become members again of this congregation. Guide us with your wisdom as we worship and work together. Mold our minds and hearts into a single Christ-like will so that we may be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name, oops, that's going to come later. Let's continue with our next hymn. Through Simple Water, Drawn and Poured, hymn 685. This one is one that I don't think that we've sung, and although it should be, I think it's a simple tune, we'll see if you can sing it, all right? 685, we're not making anybody sing it for you, so please open your hymnals if that can help you. Oh, you... Please rise. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, Christ Your Footprints. This is also a new one. I picked some new ones today, sorry. Hymn 379, Christ Your Footprints.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You may also watch the services at our Facebook and YouTube pages at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can stream our services on max.fm, the cable television broadcast. This will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-0 preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address at St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. For more information about our congregation, you can go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Don Harmon. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you.
Faithful sinless.
Good evening once again. Couple of quick announcements. We have our annual congregational voters meeting coming up on Sunday. If you can stop by for that, that would be wonderful. We like to have as many as possible. You can see the school calendar for especially girls basketball and some other matters. I think they got, they have a movie night on Friday, 31st of January. Kids movie in the gym, just have a lot of fun. There'll be chairs for those of us who can't sit on the floor. All right. And just have a little fun with kids. And quite frankly, we have the other thing earlier this month on the 19th. It's called Bunko. It's just a lot of fun. Come check it out. Bring your kids. Teach them that you don't have to have a screen to have fun. Be kind of fun. I think you'd like it. There's a sign up there so they know how many to prepare for the Bunko. Lord's blessings as we continue through Epiphany, the revealing of Christ.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
When you're not limited by the size of your table, you can invite everyone.
This week on the Lutheran Hour.
But a lot can change when someone new moves into the neighborhood. When you're not limited by the size of your table, you can invite everyone.
A new neighbor invites.